All right, folks, it's Freedom Fiends Live. Freedom Fiends Live Sunday Call-In Show.
Worms.
Nima Vidotti. I've also got my little brother, Frank Vidotti. Say what's up, Frank.
What's up, y'all?
All right, and even Cedric Vidotti is joining us. Go ahead and pass the mic to Cedric. Say what's up, Cedric.
What's up? What's
up? All right, and of course, we've got Mr. Michael W. Dean over there in Wyoming. I'm actually in a state that borders you right now. I'm in the SLC, baby.
You should come over, man. Come over and party.
Yeah. I'll just drive through South Pass. Won't be a no big thing, right?
Stop, pick up some, real liquor and some fireworks and some porn as soon as you get into Wyoming.
Yeah, the border is a beautiful thing. As soon as you get to Evanston, there's porn stores, fireworks stores, and liquor stores all over the border. It's a nice little economic boom for that little town.
I called you last night to tell you that I was feeling a little better, and I'm not 100% yet, but the state and its government flu cannot keep me down.
Good.
So
that's good to hear.
I called you and you were like, I'm like, what's up? And you're like, I'm having a party. And like, you got off the phone really quick. And I was kind of irked. I was kind of like, man, put me on speakerphone. I want to party with your family. But but I said to DJ when I got off the phone, yeah, they're in Utah. They're having a party. And she said, is that legal? And we were conjecturing what your party consisted of, like 3-2 beer, nice. Decaf, Starbucks, and edited movies.
And Diet Mountain Dew.
Talk about edited movies, your experience with them there. And a documentary. Yeah, I saw this documentary called Clean Flicks, which I highly recommend. It's an amazing documentary on Netflix about the phenomena Nima's going to lay on us right now.
Yeah, there was a company here in Utah, and what they did was they would make Hollywood movies family-friendly. So they would take out sort of a pre-edited V-chip kind of thing. They'd take out all the cussing, all the nudity, all the violence, all the things that weren't choosing the right, and they would rent them out to people. And there was actually lawsuits. Hollywood, of course, found it to be a violation of IP, and so they sued this company, and I think they won, didn't they? I didn't watch the documentary, and I just remember hearing about it anecdotally from the people here.
Well, yeah, the really interesting thing is Hollywood won, and it wasn't one company. It was like 8 companies, but they were all getting them from 1 or 2 editing companies. What they were supposed to do, they originally said that it was legal because they had a 1-to-1 ratio thing. What they did was they bought a copy and destroyed it for every edited copy they made. So it didn't take away any sales from Hollywood. But then some of the companies started making multiple copies of it and cheating that ratio. And what they wanted basically was like Hollywood to do was to release these themselves to do it because they make them for airplanes and they make them for TV, but they won't make them for the public. And the Hollywood says it's because there's no demand for it. I think it's because there'd be so much demand for it that it would force Hollywood to do it to all their movies, like through the market.
And then it'd be extra cost. Well, if there was that much demand, then that would negate the extra cost for them.
Yeah, but the directors don't like their vision crunched. It's a really interesting, you know, kind of like libertarian moral quandary. With you, somebody recently put up a clean version without your permission or consent or knowledge of your cuss video.
A gun for everyone.
Yeah.
They sure did, and I have no problem with it.
Yeah.
It, of course, hasn't gotten any views. The problem I do have, though, is that I don't know if somebody has reported me on YouTube or what, but when I Google a gun for everyone when I search a gun for everyone in YouTube, my video doesn't come up. But often the first one that will come up is the edited version, which has like 3 views. So mine that has like 4,500 views,
man,
it's not even on the 3rd or 4th page of the search results.
That's weird. It's probably Google.
The same thing happens to iOnMe, though. When you search iOnMe, often the radio edit comes up ahead.
You mean on Google search or YouTube search?
No, Google works. I'm talking about YouTube search. So if you go to YouTube.com and search in the YouTube field.
Go ahead and try it right now. No, I've done it, and the dirty one comes up first.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just YouTube for me. Frank, why don't you try it real quick?
So the interesting thing about this documentary and this phenomena of clean flicks Hollywood got an injunction and all these places closed down. And then a couple of years later, they've got a smart lawyer and figured out a loophole of fair use in copyright for educational purposes. And they said, oh, these are all for educational purposes. And then started selling them again. And Hollywood was in the process of trying to sue them. But what they actually did, what happened was one of the guys who owned one of these stores, who wasn't the company who originated it, but he was the guy who always did interviews, so he was associated with it. He got arrested for having sex with a 14-year-old girl, and they found kiddie porn in his shop. I think Hollywood set him up. I really do. It seems like something they do. You know, like, oh, let's make the, you know, let's make the Mormon clean flicks guy who's cleaning up our movies really dirty. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, to sort of discredit the whole genre of doing that. I think to me, though, the whole thing just brings up the point of IP ridiculousness. And I brought up a couple of casts ago the concept that people all hate, you know, or a lot of Star Wars fanboys hate some of the, you know, the episode one, episode two, episode three, and think that George Lucas had done a tragedy and a disservice to the whole Star Wars.
Is that where he re-edited the stuff and like replaced all the guns with radios? He did some scenes.
Did he? Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I guess what I'm saying though is shouldn't it be fair for anybody to reconceptualize art and have it be open source, like software is open source, and in the end let people's desires, i.e. the market, decide what version they want to see. The same thing goes with these Mormon or family-friendly video things that wanted to edit the movies down. If there's a demand for it, if people are buying it, if people want to see those things, why is it fair for Hollywood to use government guns to stop that, to stop people from getting what they want? I mean, I don't agree with it. I wouldn't show those kind of movies to my family. I guess I don't really have a family yet, you know, little kids. But if you like it or you don't, that's not what matters. What matters is...
I thought it was kind of interesting that the people that edited your movie, your video and made it cuss free, was something called Free Press Publications. Free Press Publications proactively editing cuss words,
proactively censoring.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Well, I think what they were trying to do is
make it open to more people. I get it. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And yeah. I actually gave him some tips. I'm the only comment on there, and I told him like how to do a better job at censoring your videos.
Yeah, and another friend of mine was like, well, you should send them some better done audio where you, you know, because I have all the separate tracks, so I can actually just blank out the cuss words or reverse them or do fancy things to them. Like, I think the coolest editing I've ever heard was on, it was on that Wu-Tang album that you had, Frank. Was it Killabees 2?
Oh, yeah,
2?
The Killabees.
Yeah, and the RZA actually put in Kung Fu sound effects for all the cuss words.
Yeah.
So I like how really Death Clock does it really well. Thing. Death Clock puts in like a metal guitar squealy, like,
yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if the person, you know, wanted to get in touch with me, all he had to do was message me. And, you know, I don't feel like it's worth it for me, but if he would have asked, I probably would have been more likely to send him some clean audio for that, you know, if he does the rest of the work.
I kind of feel at this point it's like that's up for other people to do.
Yeah,
we put it out, and if we do so much work, it's like we don't have time to make the cuss-free edit. No one's going to watch. Someone else can do that. Right.
But adding a beep on top of a single audio track just sounds like it doesn't sound good.
I know,
not.
But it could have been done a little better. But I'm not dissing him for doing it. It's cool that he did it. Living, you know, you could have done it better from the stereo track that he had, even.
Yeah.
You know, I told him to use a lower beep, you know, A440, make it quieter and just try to put it more on beat. It could have been done better, I'm not dissing him, but he put it out there. You put something out there, you're open to critique. So we're critiquing it.
Right,
creative critique. Positive.
I think the root and the moral of the story, though, is there's nothing wrong with censorship as long as it's, you know,
an alternative.
Done in a free voluntary matter.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to see something censored, by all means, go censor the hell out of something. And,
yeah,
and
we did
out there.
We did a censored version of Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom that no one watched. You know, it was kind of funny too. Like some of the titles that this Mormon video family friendly video company, like they did like Pulp Fiction and like Kill Bill. I'm like, Kill Bill without the violence would be like the opening credits, you know?
Right.
And that's about it.
Not long at all. But, I mean, have a go at it, right? I mean, it obviously doesn't still exist, I don't think, that I know. So.
Yeah.
Didn't work out, but I can't fault them.
Well, there's like a BitTorrent version of it. There's like a people are sharing those. Yeah. Nice. Not on BitTorrent. It's on some dark site that's only open to Mormons by password. So good for them.
Well, Good for them. We'll have more coming up. Freedom Beans Live.
Yeah.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Check out the new show, The Freedom Fiends Agenda, on Freedom Fiends Radio. Click on the blue listen link at freedomfiends.com, streaming live every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. East Coast U.S. time on Freedom Fiends Radio at freedomfiends.com. The Freedom Fiends Agenda is Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati's fun and feisty chat about market anarchy, self-defense, real money, the digital police state, activism, DIY media, sex pets, and rock and roll. Call in soon before they get droned. Live studio number 307-215-5171 or via Skype to username kittyfeet1. Listen live at freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
It's your boy Nima Vedati. We're coming back live. And I know our audience often likes to hear my family, especially the younger kids, my younger siblings, talk about liberty and how they feel about it. And, you know, it's no exception. It's not a geographical thing. Even my little brother Cedric here in Utah is a big fan of Ron Paul. He's... You described yourself last night as an anarcho-capitalist. Would you still say that, Cedric?
Yeah, I would. I would.
Go ahead and tell us what you think about liberty. What's your conceptualization of how liberty works?
I am fine with what anybody does as long as they do not violate me or somebody else's life, liberty, or property.
Nice, nice. And you're also a big Ron Paul fan. Is that a thing among kids your age, 15-year-olds, or are you the only one in your school? Are you the odd man out, or are there other people like that?
I'm probably like, well, there are some people that have heard of Ron Paul, but nobody at my school would ever endorse him. They think he's an isolationist and crazy and all these things.
It all comes down to his foreign policy then?
Yeah.
Really? 15-year-olds care about that and have an opinion on that at school now?
Well, just in my debate class, we talk about some controversial things in there. But
do they ever say that Ron Paul's a racist?
No, they don't know anything about him. So
I would imagine they would, in Utah at least, they would more attack Ron Paul from the right. You know, saying things like he's an isolationist.
Yeah.
And if he was elected, then we would get taken over by Sharia law, and the Muslims would kill all of us, and things like that.
Yeah, in Utah, they probably like if someone's a racist, as long as it's racist for white people.
right. Well, you know, we're here. You're here in Salt Lake. What were people like during the election? Was everybody on Mitt Romney's nuts or what?
Yeah, everybody was riding Mitt Romney. So
he's a Mormon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you tell those people? Did you just shake your head or did
well,
you just?
He agreed with Obama on almost every main point.
Yeah.
He agreed on the wars. He agreed on everything. You know.
Yeah.
Except funding NPR.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's so hilarious how in the elections they always pick they pick some little piddly thing that doesn't make any headway in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it? Like 10% of NPR's funding is government funding? Some small amount. So and then how big of a
like
portion
one bomb,
of the budget
one,
is
one day of the bomb budget, if that. 1 hour of the bombing budget.
Right. Literally.
For the whole year.
Yeah, such a small, you know, pennies compared to the rest of the money the government wastes. And that's what everybody fights about. It's ridiculous.
We can continue this war with viewers like you.
Wouldn't that be funny? A donation war. Well, that's kind of what they did with the war bonds back in World War II, isn't it?
Yeah. Although they made you basically into a commie if you didn't buy them.
So there was a lot of horizontal enforcement going on.
Yeah.
You're a pinko commie if you don't support the war effort. And ration and don't eat meat and don't eat butter so the soldiers can have it.
I know. Then there's war pigeons, which we're going to get into next period.
We are.
Next class.
So, Cedric, you were telling me you've only read two books. What two books have you read?
I've only read The Law by Frederick Bastiat. And I've read a little bit of some Murray Rothbard, but that's about
it. Okay, yes. He wants to read more Murray Rothbard, so I was going to give him the Anatomy of the State PDF. I'm going to send that to him.
That's a good one.
Frank. It's the best primer, I think, for these ideas in a very scholarly, well-reasoned, short. It's like 50 pages long, and pretty much everything, or a lot of the theory can be traced back to that Rothbard book. So, Cedric, what did you get out of The Law by Frederick Bastiat? We talk about Bastiat all the time. Every libertarian does, you know. Well, Bastiat says.
What
did you take from it?
I say, well, F you, instead of quoting Bastiat.
Yeah, takes all kinds.
My favorite part of that whole book, The Law, was when he was talking about socialism.
To your mouth.
Or when he was talking about socialism, they say, we don't want to have the government pay for things like education, but that doesn't mean we don't like education.
Ah, yes. So that's a beautiful point, because everybody is so brainwashed that they fall into that. If the government doesn't provide something, then that thing just won't exist anymore.
Hey,
as,
Nima,
as
you
if
know,
without...
I know. Yeah, Keynesian ideology.
Yeah.
You know what I learned about Keynes? Keynes was an advocate of eugenics.
Ah, yeah, that makes complete sense.
Yeah, Keynesian economics with who lives and dies.
Right. He was just a creepy guy all around and very weird and had mystical ideas of spirit animals affecting the economy. And I don't understand.
Really?
How
I thought, was the animal stuff like literal? I thought it was figurative.
I think it was figurative, but still, saying animal spirits, it's kind
of ridiculous.
Well,
did he invent the bulls
that.
and bears thing?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I'd have to ask my dad.
Speaking of
my
your dad,
got a PhD in
we've heard from every member of your family now, I think, and they're all pretty much aligned with your ideas. I want to hear from your dad.
Well, maybe I'll go run up and get him during the break.
You should run up and get him. Come on, man. He left Iran and came here. I want to hear his take on the world. We had my dad on, okay? My dad didn't agree 100% with us, so we should get your dad on here.
That's fair enough, although last time we brought this up, he says, you know, you guys, I've lived in America longer than any of you have, to his kids, which is true, because he's been in America for, 40 years now, something like that?
Crazy amount.
None of us are that old, so.
And what, telling you you're wrong and he's right?
No, just he's not really a foreigner, you know?
Oh, yeah.
He's been in America longer than any of us.
No, but he's your dad. My dad's not a foreigner either. My dad's been in America longer than most humans on the earth, so we had him on. So I want to hear Ahmed. Get Ahmed on here.
Ahmed. Yeah. No fancy wording or pronunciation there. Just Ahmed. Just like you would say it in English. Ahmed.
Very simple. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we could do that. That might be a fun segment.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So, we got more?
Cedric, what else would you like? I guess I just want to know from Cedric, do you feel like you're isolated in your thoughts on liberty and reading Bastiat? Are there friends in school you have that are into that too? I mean, how did you come across this kind of stuff?
Well, in eighth grade, I had a teacher named Mr. Murphy who was like a big constitutionalist, but he would always hint at it, and I knew a lot about history, but I didn't know anything about American history. I was very uneducated in, you know, what was going down in America.
Mm-hmm.
I was more of like Middle East, because that's where my dad's from.
Right.
So he comes up and he was talking to me. He's like, oh, so you really like history, huh? And he would hint at me little things during class, mm-hmm, on what I should pick up. So one day he came to me and talked to me after school, and he's like, you know, you should read Frederick Bastiat's The Law.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, okay. I'll check it out. And then I got it for Christmas one year, and I read it.
Oh. Awesome. Who gave it to you for Christmas?
My grandma Brooks. She's my stepdad's mom.
Did you ask her for it, or did she pick it out for you?
She just picked it out for me.
Wow.
That's awesome.
She's really smart.
That's really awesome. Interesting, too, that it was your school teacher, your history teacher in eighth grade?
Yeah, history teacher.
Okay. So I guess some good can be done. But he was hinting at it. He didn't let the other kids know this kind of... He thought you were special enough to pass the truth on to?
I guess.
Handing you little red pills after class. All right. Well, we'll have more Fiends coming up after we take this short pause to go ahead and sell some things. Go ahead and stick with us. Plenty more Fiends.
Morphine. Morphine for the fiend soul.
Yeah.
Would you like to advertise your product or service to a large built-in audience of liberty-loving consumers who truly dig the free market? Freedom Fiends is now selling ad space. Slots are reasonably priced, but limited, so contact us today. Write the Fiends at talkback@freedomfiends.com. That's talkback@freedomfiends.com. Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippie!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Thanks for sticking with us. We are back on the Freedom Fiends live show, and we're going to talk about war pigeons.
War pigeons,
yes. Not to be confused with war pigs.
No.
No, not at all.
I would normally be singing some Black Sabbath about now, but I'm not quite that recovered yet from my government flu.
Yes.
I sound better, but I can't, like, screech at the top of my lungs yet. And I look pretty weird. If you saw me, I kind of look like the mad... I look like McFly. No, what's the guy, the mad scientist in Back to the Future? I kind of look like him right now. Like, my hair's all, you know. I've been wearing a hat. Yeah, Doc. I've been wearing, like, a wool cap for, like, 10 days or, like, 8 days.
Nice.
You know, sleeping it all the time. Like, I take it off, and my hair looks like Einstein on a bad hair day.
You mean Einstein every day.
Yeah, it's actually been really good for my diet. I'm at like 165 pounds now. I'll probably gain a few pounds back. I like ate a lot over holidays, but just being sick, you just, you know, poo it all out. So war pigeons, man.
Yeah, nice segue.
I was real fascinated with, well, pigeons poo. So there you go.
Okay.
I'm actually looking at pigeons out the window right now. We at the Fiends are fascinated with pigeons. If you go to, you know, our 404 page, if you type in like freedomfiends.com/ and then anything that's not an actual page on it, it'll go to our default 404 page, which is a picture of a pigeon being retrofitted for to carry SD cards of Freedom Fiends after Freedom Fiends becomes illegal to share on the internet.
We'll just send pigeons to your house.
Yeah, it's sort of our analogy for our BitTorrent campaign, which you can join. And we also have new buttons. You know, we should get pigeon buttons, I think. Maybe get Freedom Fiends BitTorrent pigeon buttons.
It's not a bad idea. And of course, pigeons have been used by people throughout history to deliver things because of their amazing homing ability.
Yeah.
And have even been defended by the state during the Defense of the Realm Act, Regulation 21A, during World War I in Britain, actually.
Yes.
Here
the
is
King's
a post.
Pigeons. The King's Pigeons.
Pigeons. Right. It was a crime to kill, wound, or molest homing pigeons. It was punishable under the Defense of the Realm regulation.
Although the government can molest you.
Right. Government can realize you can't molest the pigeons, though. 6 months imprisonment or a 100-pound fine. And this is World War I, so I'm guessing 100 pounds was
couple
quite
thousand
a pretty
dollars,
penny back then.
$5,000 or $6,000.
Yeah. They wanted to remind the public that homing pigeons are doing valuable work for the government and are requested to assist in the suppression of shooting of these birds. Hmm. So does that mean would competing countries have like dudes out there with 12 gauges full of birdshot shooting random pigeons just in case they were carrying information across enemy lines?
I don't know, man. I don't know. But yeah, pigeons were used for reconnaissance. I don't know if they ever put a bomb on them, but they did try to guide missiles with them. We've talked about that.
They
have a pigeon in there, and then the pigeon would have three windows in the front of the missile flying through the air, and it would peck at the target, and it would move. It didn't work too well, but they worked great for reconnaissance. In World War One, they put little cameras on them, and the image for today's podcast is going to be three pigeons handsomely modeling their different little pigeon photography gear.
Pigeon photography. Well, that was the other thing. They also put cameras on pigeons, so pigeons could be reconnaissance, sort of a natural drone before actual drones.
And the Swiss had a homing pigeon service department of their military. And there's a picture on the war pigeon article on Wikipedia of some really gay, sexy looking male and female mannequins. It kind of looks like the cover of a Kraftwerk album or something. But it's the pigeon service department.
Yes. And you could see a pigeon sergeant major in the women's military.
This unconfirmed recent uses. Read that part of the Pigeon Post article.
Yeah. In 2010, Indian police expressed suspicion that a recently captured pigeon from Pakistan might have been carrying a message from Pakistan. So,
No.
as with that whole AFPAC region in general.
AFPAC. Is that a word?
The quote-unquote. Yeah, that's a word. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, the quote-unquote insurgents, they can borrow from old technologies and even use old
technologies.
They're
pretty much winning with old technologies. I mean, they're using pigeons and Mosin Nagants. I'm surprised they're not using like cannons, you know, like wheeled cannons with cannonballs.
Right. Well, I think they do use mortars. They use old Soviet technology mortars.
Yeah, from the 50s and 60s. But right. And there were decorated war pigeons in England that won medals named Commando, Paddy, William of Orange, Mary of Exeter, and G.I. Joe. They named one of them G.I. Joe. That was weird.
Huh. Interesting. I didn't know that.
War pigeons.
War pigeons. Yeah. So anything else you have to say about war pigeons, or you just thought it was cool?
MI5, which is that their FBI or their CIA? MI6 is their CIA in England, but what's MI5? Something like that. But it was still concerned about the use of pigeons by enemy forces. And until 1950, they arranged for 100 birds to be maintained by a civilian pigeon fancier. See, they had their citizen pigeon militias. They had it wasn't just the military. It was like you served your country by raising your own homing pigeons. Sort of like my dad raised hemp in World War II to help the war effort.
Right.
With government
all in service
blessing.
Of the state, of course. Yeah. 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 The state is co-opting the pigeons. Yeah. Be wary of the pigeons. Yeah.
Pigeons.
So I had a fiend fan recognize me at when I was snowboarding yesterday, or pseudo recognize me.
He, really?
Got in contact with me on Facebook. Yeah, because we went snowboarding, or I went snowboarding. Most of the rest of my family went skiing at Brighton, which is it's a really cool ski resort. It's usually where the locals go here. And later in the day, I posted some pictures and was like, yeah, I was at Brighton, you know, teaching the wife to ski. And one of the fiend fans, who's also a friend on Facebook, was like, well, then I saw you today. I was going to come over and talk to you, but then I thought, well, it's just could just be another brown guy with a beard. So he didn't come talk to me. But I guess he should have. So if you see a brown guy with a beard and you think it may be me, might as well risk it. Just come and drop some fiend words and see if the brown person with the beard responds to you.
That's amazing. I never get recognized. Of course, I'd never leave the house, but even if I do, you know,
that'll do
I'd never get recognized anywhere. in my travels. I used to a lot. I used to be like, I remember when I was in my band Bomb, like, you know, we'd be pumping gas at fucking in like, you know, Duluth, Minnesota or something. And we'd be at the gas station and I'd get out to pump gas and we'd hear someone, some guy across the parking lot of the gas station go, "Is that Michael Dean?" And like the guys in my band would be like, "No way." Like, just, I don't know how, I just knew people from all over the world most of my life. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a real good feeling, isn't it?
I've had it happen like at a bus station in Germany too. Like not, nice. And not from music or anything, like just like someone like from San Francisco just happened to be in that bus station. It was like, "Michael Dean?"
Yeah. Well, when people used to recognize me for my TV work, it was always nice, but it feels much
more
like
you earn it. They're always old
people. Yeah. There's always old people. Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of nice though. I had a guy, old guy at Walmart who was a checker, tell me, you know, "I really like what you do. 'Cause you know, you're not like the other reporters. You're not like those other guys. You're not like the other reporters." Because, of course, you know, they're tend to be very liberal status. And, you know, I had people in Wyoming say that I was Fox News Light. They were, of course, confused about the situation. But people liked that I wasn't, you know, a California liberal who was carpet bagging at their TV station in Wyoming. But I always felt like I earned it more when it was something I did myself. Like, I had somebody in a bar in Wyoming once recognize me from the I Own Me video. And, that one recognition was better than any of the, "Hey, aren't you the weatherman?" Because for some reason,
because you earned it. You earned it.
Yeah, because I,
you know,
earned it. Yeah.
We really earn everything we do lately. Like, I was thinking about this. Like, your video, "The Gun for Everyone," does it have over 5,000 now? Let me check. It has about 4,000
right on the border,
right on the cusp. And we really earned it. It's like nothing we do goes viral. It's like, but we get a good number of hits on stuff, but it's never like the overnight success. We just work and work and work at it, and our fiends help us.
Oh, help, yeah. Help share it. Do it without the fiends.
Hey, do you think war pigeons, do you think drones came out of war pigeons directly?
Well, that need for reconnaissance and for sending something through the sky, it's a need, and it's a niche that's now filled by technology. But
yeah.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to freedomfiends.com.
Yo, Freedom Fiends.
It's the Freedom Fiends Live. Yo. We haven't given out the call-in number yet, but if you want to call in,
somebody call in.
It's a call-in show.
Have your dad call in. Then he won't have to come downstairs.
Well, he is up there with his girlfriend.
Yes, so. He's the Zohan.
But maybe he's just busy. Let him
he's the Zohan.
Yeah. He's the Zohan.
Yeah, it's 307-215-5171 if you want to call in. 307-215-5171.
What do you say? Our dad declined, but not politely. He said he has shit to do.
It's okay. We'll have other opportunities.
Yeah. My dad would never cuss, but He has his own way of cussing. He says Obama's feet stink and he's a liar.
Feet stink. He's a
and
liar.
A socialist.
Does your dad vote for Obama?
Cedric says yes, he did.
Someone asked if your dad is wearing a jogging suit and gold chains. Mm-hmm. I said that's racist. That's statist.
That's statist.
That's statist.
Yeah,
I'm gonna make a podcast called Das Statist.
Das Statist. It'd be fun to do. You know, it'd be really fun. Would be to do a side cast. Maybe I'll do this if I don't have. Maybe I'll do it with DeGumbo someday when I don't have an idea or an interviewee. Of just do Chitch. One. Do a podcast called Das Statist, and you just completely rant the opposite of what you believe. You just go on there and say the most statist shit you can possibly say.
Right.
Well, also like how you had
like the end of Decline to State when they do that with all their guests is have them take the opposite position.
Yeah, that's it.
It's kind of a debating exercise is to take the opposite position.
Also, how y'all had y'all used to do the Tyranny Todays and the whatever else you had. You can do that with the Death Status. Have an article and be like Death Status.
Death Status. The new Tyranny Today.
Yeah, that's the new Tyranny Today.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Yep. For sure.
Yeah. Speaking of Death Status, there was a hilarious meme that was, it was like, I wonder if there's a Guinness Book of World Records entry for most lies told at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And it had a picture of Congress being sworn in.
Yeah. I just sent you a secret.
Swearing an oath to the Constitution.
I just sent you a secret pigeon.
Ah.
Pigeon there.
Okay.
Pigeon
well, then
podcast.
It's not secret.
Well, it is.
Yes. I will follow the directive.
Yes.
Not so much.
Yeah. So why can't you get your dad on here, man? I really want him on here.
I don't know. Mm. I don't know. Sometimes you can't get what you want,
pretty
Michael.
Pretty much had. You can't always get what you want. Yeah.
You're going to call the cops?
I'm going to press him into service. No, just make fun of him until he comes on.
I can go upstairs and force him to come down.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Please
but then
do
I'd
it.
Be a hypocrite. Come I'd on, be a man. Hypocrite then.
No.
Go up and encourage him.
We're in his house. It's his voice.
Is he up getting his
private property?
Well, I'm pretty good at persuading people, so I'll take a break and go persuade him to come down. All right.
Is he up there with his girlfriend? Just go up and say, "Ew, you're with a girl. That is so gay." Like on The Simpsons.
He's making babies.
You kissed a girl. That is so gay.
He has his cootie shot from the government, so it's
all
good.
Okay. I'm his oldest kid, so I'll go during the long
break. Yes, the oldest. He cannot refuse a request from the oldest son.
On this, the day of the oldest son.
Yes. So, war. Yes. There have been approximately 14,500 wars between 3500 BC and now, costing 3.5 billion lives. And leaving only 300 years of total peace in that time.
Since when? When does that historical
since
data start?
3500 BC, basically since the beginning of any kind of organized warfare.
Right.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's a shame.
Yeah, and it's sad. Sometimes I'll talk to people about anarchy, and they'll be like, well, what would we do about war if there was no government?
We had a podcast titled, what was it, without the war, who would drone the without the government, who would drone the children?
Who would drone the children? Right. And it's like, well, war is a result of governments fighting each other for use of resources and fighting each other for a monopoly of violence over particular areas. So you get rid of the state, you get rid of war. And I always tell people, too, because some of them are like, well, the corporations would just build massive armies and nukes.
That's so stupid.
Well, I really don't think it's profitable for anybody. The only reason states and governments can get away with things like that is because
they have stolen money.
Yeah, they don't have a profit motive. Mm-hmm. They don't have a real budget concern because they can just run deficits. So all they are concerned about is increasing their power, and they can do that off of the backs of us, the tax cattle, the slaves.
Yeah, government are like fleas, which we had a song about it, but I thought of another analogy about fleas was they used to think during the Middle Ages, like the plague ages, the Black Plague, they used to think that fleas were good for people because when someone was dying of the plague, they would have fleas on them. And as soon as they were dead, the fleas would jump off them. And so they naturally assumed that fleas bring health and help you live. When in fact, they were carrying the plague and they jumped off you when you died because your blood was no longer flowing. So the government is kind of like fleas, I think.
I'd say they're more like the Black Plague itself.
Yeah, but people don't see it that way. People have that problem with causation where they think that wet sidewalks cause rain. They like to put the cart before
the horse. Did you come up with that one? I love that one. You said it before.
I think Butler Schaefer came up with it.
Good.
I don't know if he came up with it, but that's where I got it from.
Yeah. Well, my fever dream, the best I could do is come up with fleas.
Fleas.
Federal law enforcement agents.
Yeah. And of course, it follows the concept that they are nothing but parasites.
Yeah, polyticks. Yeah, many parasites.
Although, more and more, I really prefer the analogy of the government is really just people farmers. You know, Stefan Molyneux's whole thing.
Yeah, the tax farms.
We're just tax cattle, and they like to make our cage bigger and have us be free-range slaves so that we're more productive. You know, you're more productive if you get to go home and watch Dancing with the Stars. Mm-hmm. And
well, they're actually they're kind of going the opposite direction now, and there is the theory that that's going to backfire and that's going to be the end of the state. I mean, that's kind of Larkin Rose's thing of like, you know, if they – his how to be a successful tyrant thing is basically like give the slaves a little more leash,
more room.
And they're not doing that. They're doing the opposite of that, which is going to backfire.
Yeah,
and it's making more people just realize, like, more people probably than ever in America don't like the government. Even people who are statists are like, it's so fucked up, man. They're not doing it right. The Democrats blame the Republicans. Republicans blame the left. You know, the left, right, whatever. Nobody likes Congress. I mean, I saw a recent poll that said something like, the idea of going completely communist in America has a higher rating than Congress has right now.
Yeah, and Congress has like a 6% rating, I think.
Is it that
low? At least last time I checked.
Is it in single digits now?
I think the flu has a higher rating than Congress. Probably 7% of people probably like the flu because they get to stay home and get paid by the government to not work.
And drink lots of cough syrup.
You know, the flu has a higher rating than Congress.
That should be the name of the episode.
I think that might be. Although I like the pigeon thing, but yeah, it just kind of evolves. The flu has a higher rating than Congress. That sounds good. But then that won't work really with my pigeon picture. Yeah, it will.
Well, we can save the pigeons for later. Pigeons are timeless. They're evergreen.
The flu. Well, pigeons can spread the flu, spread disease. So I'll still use the picture.
Is that how it works? Okay. So yeah, man. Fiends. Fiends are awesome, and worms are awesome, and pigeons are awesome.
We sold our first batch of the 5 buttons for $10 instead of 4 buttons for $6 today.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
The new buttons y'all made, state speeches, hate speech.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. I gave Frank some of those. Frank gives them.
For sure.
Now you have to buy 5 for 10. But, you know, and people may complain, but 5 buttons for $10 postpaid is still pretty cheap compared to what people sell cool buttons for. And those 5 buttons are a great starter pack for, like, I mean, start and finish pack. I mean, really, like, you have those 5 buttons, you have all the buttons you need in the world. And they really make a statement, those 5 buttons.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to say what the buttons are? Do you remember the buttons?
Yeah. I think I said them in the last cast, but we've got the state speeches, hate speech. We've, of course, got the guns and weed, which is just guns and weed button. We've got the anarchy gumbo, which is the awesome anarchy shrimp. And we've got Freedom Fiend, one with our Freedom Fiend model wearing her Freedom Fiend t-shirt. And worms. We've got Freedom Fiend one with just a bunch of worms.
You're missing. Oh, no. Never mind. Those are different buttons. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Nice set of anarchy buttons if anybody wants to go cop those. And it helps the fiends and it helps us to keep doing our thing because we know you like it when the fiends do their thing, baby, don't you?
I like this comment. Pigeons eat worms for breakfast. They literally do. You know, I'm
and
looking
at chomp them up and throw them up into their pigeon babies' mouths.
I'm seeing the pigeon baby mama's mouth. The pigeon baby mamas throw them up. Baby mama. I'm looking out the window. I'm seeing pigeons. I'm not seeing squirrels today. I think they're all asleep.
It's probably too cold. They probably all froze to squirrel sickles.
Nah, man. They live well. They're probably in the front of the house eating the peanuts that we put on the windowsill for them.
You're not supposed to feed the animals, Michael.
Yeah, they'll get too complacent.
Because they become socialists.
And then when you move away and somebody mean lives there.
Somebody mean lives there. They'll go across the street. The other guy feeds them, too. Yeah.
They're getting used to your welfare.
They'll bite your finger, too.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, Michael gave me a phone.
Michael gave me a phone.
Keeping Michael in fiend, you know?
Keep Michael in resident, you know? All right, we'll be back after this long break.
Worms.
Chitch. Pigeons.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. We have Freedom Fiends, Anarchy Gumbo, and two designs for Guns and Weed the Road to Freedom. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $6 for 4 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Worms.
What's up, Fiends? This is Freedom Fiends Live. Coming up on that second hour, if you'd like to call into our live call-in show, that number is 307-215-5171. Again, that number is 307-215-5171. So, yeah. Did you get a chance to look at that Muse video I sent you, Michael?
Yeah. It was really offensive to me, what they were trying to say.
Really offensive to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Muse video we're talking about is called The Second Law, : Unsustainable, : like the punctuation, not like your dookie booty. And I had a friend who's an Anglophile who I visited with last
that's
night
gay.
For a little bit.
Just say he's gay. You can just say he's gay. You don't have to use...
Well,
he's a what?
For those who don't know, Muse Anglophile. Is a band that's really big. They're really big in England, and they've got a pretty big following here in America, too. and, you know, like a lot of bands, they're kind of lefty, and they have this song. It's sort of their dubstep offering. Like it's kind of got an EDM feel to it, and basically the song is this female reporter voice saying things, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to look deep, but they try to use the second law of thermodynamics to say that the human economic growth is unsustainable, and if society is constantly trying to grow, then eventually we'll just fall flat on our faces. The second law of thermodynamics goes like this. It states that the entropy of an isolated system never decreases because isolated systems spontaneously evolve towards thermodynamic equilibrium.
That's also said, the short form of that is that energy cannot be created or destroyed.
Right.
I've heard it said that way.
And entropy is also, you know, the move towards
chaos,
disorganization. So your body entropy is because, you know, it starts off, it gets organized, eventually it decays, and it goes back into dust, which is less organized than a human physical body. The problems with this, and this is a really bad mythology and a really bad concept that I think has infected liberals' brains, is the idea that there's one piece of the pie, there's one pie, and all wealth is taken out of that pie. So we run the risk of ruining the economy if we buy too many things, or if corporations make too many things.
The irony is that this video is really, really high tech. They spent a lot of money making it and used what I would consider a lot of wealth, a lot of modern techniques of computer video editing and tricks and stuff that didn't exist. That only exist because a lot of people bought stuff and brought the price of this down to where it was available, you know?
Exactly, yeah. The disproof of their theory is in the video itself, because the video is flashy, it's high-tech. People couldn't even make music videos 100 years ago.
Well, there's a rule, there's an unwritten rule that's kind of true of... you know, it's kind of like, what's the thing of every year and a half, computing power doubles for the price? Moore's Law. There's a corollary of that whatever Hollywood has 4 years later, you have,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever Hollywood, yeah, as far as everything, like techniques. 4 years, yeah. 4 years after, late, you know, ever since computers, 4 years after Hollywood gets it, you get it. So
right.
These people definitely have stuff that, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, only Hollywood could have afforded.
Right, right. And using the second law of thermodynamics to describe human action is inherently flawed because the human mind organizes things. It does. The human mind can do negative entropy. It can create a chair out of a dead tree. You know, it can create all these things that we have. The microphone I'm holding in my hand, the cell phone tower that I use to call you. Those are all created by human action that actually increases organization within the universe. I think the other fallacious thing here is that, you know, the human societies aren't closed systems. We can extract new energy from the ground. We can pull fossil fuels out of the ground. And in new methods, we can do other things to create energy. Also, we have the solar system. You know, once technology increases to the point that we can mine asteroids, so Earth itself isn't even a closed system.
Basically, a year of
brought into Earth.
A year of liberal arts college combined with drugs and a guitar is a dangerous thing. You come up with bullshit like this video. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I completely agree.
You know, I never really like when people try to ascribe laws of physics to human ideals, which is Paul Bonneau's complaint with Stefan Molyneux's universally preferable behavior. Mm-hmm. Paul Bonneau is a great alternative thinker, and he's a friend of mine. I know him in person, and he lives in Wyoming, and he writes for Strike the Root sometimes, really infrequently, but it's mm-hmm. always great. And he has actually complained that Stefan Molyneux's universally preferable behavior is trying to ascribe laws of physics to libertarianism, which really Paul Bonneau says can't be done. And I kind of agree, too.
Yeah, but I think Molyneux's universally preferable behavior has its uses, like in deciding if something is can logically happen, if a principle can be applied universally to everybody. You know, that's basically a sort of his proof of the non-aggression principle. And so I think it can be useful. I mean, I don't know how much of a laws of physics it is, and maybe I need to read UPB in order to get a better grasp on it. But something like, you know, we can't all murder each other all the time. You know, it's not logically
well,
possible.
But we so have it's been universally preferable for, since 3500 BC, apparently.
right.
You know, I mean, I think it comes down to, like, the other thing Paul Bonneau says is, like, really, there's no such thing as rights. You know, there's definitely not rights granted by putting things in paper, but he takes it further to say, like, there aren't even natural rights. The only rights you have are the ones you can keep. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if they outlaw having good guns, and you still have a natural right in your heart to have those guns, the only guns you're going to get away with having are the ones you get away with having.
Right.
You know?
I think, though, that rights are useful in conceptualizing what is morally legitimate, and that is subjective because it's all in humans' brains. In that way, it's subjective. But so I think it's useful. When I think of rights, I think of saying, well, somebody is right when they do this. Somebody is right when they own a gun. There's nothing wrong about owning a gun. So when I think of rights, I think it's, well, it's kind of like having the right of way, right? I mean, people see it as legitimate for you to do that.
Yeah. The universally preferable behavior thing, and I don't even know, I haven't read it either. I've read summaries of it and heard his description of it. So I shouldn't really criticize it. I'm just saying that someone else has read it and criticized it for that. Which is legitimate. I'm pointing out what someone smarter than me, Paul Bonneau, has said. But, you know, I do understand the if something works for something, it has to work for something else. Like Larkin Rose talks about how he went from minarchist to anarchist because he was making these arguments for the non-aggression principle but making arguments for small government, and it just doesn't work. And if you want to be
consistent.
Yeah, that's the word you use a lot, which I like, is consistency.
Right. Right. And that's what I think Molyneux tries to do with universally preferable behavior. And we can debate back and forth all day whether he does a good job of it or not, or whether it's workable or usable as a tool to make people understand things. I mean, I guess for me, the jury's not out on that yet.
Well, if he reads my book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, I'll read his book, Universally Preferable Behavior. How's that?
Okay.
You know,
okay, fair
it's
enough.
Like people come up to me and be like, you know, they'd be like, hey, I like your band. You kind of sound like Pink Floyd meets Dead Kennedys. Do you listen to Pink Floyd? And I'm like, do they listen to me? They right, should.
Right. Yeah. But of course you've listened to Pink Floyd. Who else hasn't listened to Pink Floyd?
And then it got weird when, you know, Nirvana happened and it was like they were listening to me. It's kind of weird. It's kind of like the radio talking back to you, you know?
Yeah.
Like having your heroes influenced by or at least fans of you.
Right.
It's weird.
Speaking of Nirvana, I want to retract my hate towards Paul McCartney filling. He didn't really fill in for Kurt Cobain. You know, I kind of misread. I think we misread what happened
Did
there.
You see it?
Yeah, I actually saw the video. Yeah, I heard it. I saw it, watched the video. What it was apparently Paul McCartney was jamming with Dave Grohl, Chris Novoselic, and Pat Smear. Pat Smear was there too. So it was like all of the original Nirvana, not original, but all the Nirvana members from when they were
except
touring.
Except the
really
one that
big.
Counted.
Except
the one that wrote all the songs and sang them. Yeah.
Right. But there were moments in there where it sounds like Nirvana, you know, when Paul McCartney's not singing, he's just soloing.
Kurt was influenced by Paul McCartney, so that would make sense.
Yeah. And so, actually, I have a few more things to say about that, and we'll say that in just a little bit after we go sell some things.
Yeah. Worms.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Yeah. All right. And we'd like to say hello to Captain Jack, Ninja Kitty, and the whole crew down there in the Carolinas and our latest, newest affiliate that cannot be named. Yeah. All right. Captain Jack.
All right.
And all of them. Yeah.
Where's it at? We're getting some radio play. Where's that at?
Somewhere in the Carolinas.
Somewhere in the Carolinas. We got to be vague about it.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. Fiend Radio, baby. And speaking of Fiend Radio, we've got a caller on our live Sunday show. I believe we have Miles on the line. What's up, Miles?
Hey, I was just a little bit irritated that I was left off of your naughty or nice list, but perhaps that's because I took part in some gouging at the last gun show.
A lot of people were upset to be left off of the naughty and nice list.
Well, I'll address that first, and then we can address the gouging. So somebody else had mentioned that to me, and my response is there were
multiple lists. Yeah.
There are multiple lists. If you looked at the table in the B-roll of Santa Claus picking up the lists, there were several different scrolls there. So we only had time to show one list. There are multiple lists. So let me check real quick. Miles, it looks like you were on one of the nice lists. So
and for the most part, we did not put people who are bloggers because they're already listed all over the Fiends.
It's a given.
It's a given. Yeah. So we put people that that aren't already listed a lot. And you're already listed a lot. Yes. Yeah, Asheville. We want to say the shout out. It's to Asheville. Yeah, Asheville. All right.
Asheville.
There we go.
All right. And so, Miles, some gouging. Do you mean price gouging?
Yeah, you could say that. I sold off a bunch of guns and magazines I didn't really use anymore for a bit of a profit at the last show. But I wasn't the worst one there. The worst one there was a guy selling an original HK-91 for $5,000.
Whoa. Jesus. Wow.
Whoa. Did somebody buy it?
I think they did.
Wow. Well, that would get you on the nice list. If you
tell
you
what an
HK-91
is, for those who don't know. It's basically a battle rifle, kind of phallish, huh? Right?
Yes, except it runs on a roller-locked system, and it's made by the Germans instead of the Belgians, but very similar weapons.
I've seen those often, cheaper than Fals before. I mean, I've seen them like mail order for like $600.
Oh, yes. And when they were originally sold in this country, they were like $400 direct from Germany. They are cheaper to make than Fals.
You know, Boston in his gun Bible says that that a battle rifle, at some point, you'll be able to trade it for 10 acres of land and a cabin or someone's daughter.
Yeah.
I wouldn't rule that out. yeah, he actually gets a few things wrong about the HK-91 in his book. The big thing being he says it's, you know, the most reliable of all the battle rifles. That's not the case. Those have some serious reliability issues, even the original German ones.
I thought he said the Fal and the M1 Grand were the most reliable.
Nope, they were the easiest to use and certainly more than reliable enough.
I had a Fal that broke all the time, and I ended up selling it back to the place I bought it. It's one of those DSA ones. DSA.
You've had bad luck with semi-autos, though, Michael.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I'm just not meant to, which is why I've turned all mine in preemptively. And
I thought you lost them in a boating accident.
A voting accident. Yeah. The only gun I've got, accident. I've got a I've got a 38 five-shot snubby, and I've got a 22 Derringer, and those are the only guns I'm going to have to ride out the apocalypse with, because, you know, they'll probably be legal for a while, and I want to be legal. I don't have any guns, man. Guns are bad.
Well, Miles, was it a very profitable gun show for you and everybody else then, is what it sounds like? Everybody was making bank?
Yes, definitely.
Really? Because, you know, the last time I went to a gun show like 6 months ago, except for the one last week I went to where I sold everything, but I don't know what was going on there. So the last one I went to was like, you know, before they were threatening to outlaw everything, was not a lot of selling was going on. And everybody who's coming in was bringing a gun trying to sell, too. It's not like that now? Everything's selling?
Not out here where I am. Everyone's selling like crazy.
What part of the country? What?
Northern Nevada.
Huh. Wow.
But, you know, we're right on the border with California. And I actually went shooting with a guy who lived in San Francisco a couple of days ago. And he had some pretty, shall we say, not 100% legal weapons. And I asked him, you know, how come you have those? How come you don't have, you know, bullet buttons and other things to make them legal? And he says, he just doesn't care. He's never been busted at a California range, and he figures...
He shoots them at public ranges? Because California has some nanny people and a lot of undercover people at ranges, and a lot of gangsters at ranges. But, a lot of cops at ranges. I've noticed that in California.
I guess it depends on the part of California, though. I mean, near the Nevada border is probably a lot different than L.A.
It's a little
or
more
San
cowboy.
Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, like, but this guy lived in San Francisco.
Oh. Huh. Wow.
Did he limp wrist his pistol?
as silly as this may sound, he actually did a little bit.
Make him less accurate or more accurate? Is there something to it?
He was a little less accurate. I was a better shot than he was, and that was one of the major reasons why we went out shooting was he hadn't gone shooting in a long time, and he wanted a little bit of instruction.
Ah, okay.
Hey, Miles, I have a question for you. When you're at the gun show, what were AR-15s going for? Because I had a friend who went to a gun show probably a couple weeks ago here in Houston, and he said that he was seeing AR-15s go for about $2,000. So what'd you see over there?
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it varied quite a lot, but I didn't see a single one that had a price tag of less than $1,200 on it. And that was like, you know, the cheapest ones you could find.
Like stripped down with nothing on them?
Yeah.
I mean, those usually go for $600 or $700.
Used to. Yep. That's not a
well,
usually.
You know,
yeah, I mean,
Obama
gun stores
promised,
are running out.
Obama promised to stimulate the economy. Apparently, he's done it in one tiny region of the economy.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Yes, indeed. I
kind of feel like things will settle down because I my initial instinct was maybe I should sell some gold to get an AK, but now I feel like This could blow over. At least I think there'll be some kind of lull.
You know what I'm thinking?
Some kind of dip, and I'm going to wait for that to happen.
I'm thinking,
or you could just drive up here right now, Nima, and bring some gold. We'll work something out.
Yeah,
I could. Yeah, church. Although I don't like to drive from Salt Lake to Wyoming in the winter because I have to cross South Pass, which is not a fun thing
to do.
It's
a bad road.
Plus, I don't have my own car here. I flew. You were like, I thought you drove. And I'm like, no, I didn't drive 24 hours to visit my dad. I hopped on a jet plane and got molested by the TSA for the third time in my life.
Yeah. Well, there's just one other little bit of advice I'd like to say about the subject of buying guns. Don't bother buying anything for the next couple of months because manufacturers are back-ordered. Some of them are like back-ordered 2 years. But if you want an AK, the one I recommend is the Zastava PAP. I just picked up a pistol version of one of those recently, and it is fun!
What's the cheapest they go for?
What was it called again, Miles?
Zastava PAP.
Okay. We'll check that out. Yep, all right. Thanks for the call, Michael, or Miles. And we'll be back after we sell some things.
Worms.
Chitch.
Order. Order. Order.
So you just finished watching all 90 minutes of Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree.
Oh, yeah, it's up on
victimlesscrimespree.com. And you're still hungry for more peaceful resistance? Head to order.victimlesscrimespree.com to pre-order Victimless Crime Spree, the director's cut on DVD.
Nima, check out
the
this
DVD
thing I just
not only you. Features the exciting full-length disc.
Here, I'm going to show I'm gonna
It's
show
a title
the
called
picture.
Ban. It's a royalty title in Europe. Ban. A ban.
I know. Wait, the fiends can still hear us, right?
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, I just showed my dad the picture of the Papa Fiend that I think Leifo sent us.
Did he like it?
He goes, "That's an Indian, man."
Yeah, that's what I said. That's an Indian. We're not Indian.
Tell him he has to get on here and defend himself.
Pop, you got to get on here and defend yourself. What do you say?
Did your world collapse when Ron Paul didn't win? Don't keep hoping for some great man to fix government through government. Complete your evolution today to full-on anarcho-capitalist. Reward your brain with the freedom fiends and quit breaking your heart with some politician. While the libertarians argue,
but who would build the roads?
The freedom fiends have already built the roads and moved on to making the great media content of the libertarian paradise. FreedomFiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.
His lawyer has advised him to remain silent on
the mic. Let him mic control. I'm recording.
No, he's asking
Tell
if
him
he's
I'm
being
recording.
Detained. Am I free to go? You're free to go, Papa.
I'm an American citizen.
You know, we'll set it
I
up.
Pay taxes.
Dad said he could do it at some point in the future if we give him a topic and give him some. All right, Yo. Freedom Fiends. It's Nima Vidati. We got Michael W. Dean on the other end. We're joined here by Frank Naveed Vidati as well.
What's
up, Frank? Thanks Hi, for sticking Frank. With us. And you wanted to go over a little bit of the etymology of the word ban, which actually started out as a title in Croatia.
Well, I'm not sure that's where the current English word ban, like banning.
Well, according to Wikipedia, there's in the etymology section, the word ban has entered the English language probably as a borrowing from South Slavic ban, meaning lord, master, ruler.
Yes.
So
it was a title, it's a Slavic title of nobility or power.
Right, but it meant master of the house. So apparently, it entered into the European or the English language as the master of the house has the ability to ban things. He gets to decide what's allowed in the house or out of the house, so to speak.
Bands to make her dance,
which I thought was why you had wanted to talk about it. Because
I didn't read it.
To understand
I just
that's where the word comes
great.
From.
That is great. You know, when I was a kid, my mother used to sort of jokingly call me Master Michael Dean, Master Michael Wareham Dean. Do you think that had an effect on me? I think it did.
I think so. Yeah. It sounds very aristocratic, doesn't it?
It does.
Especially the middle name.
Yes, Michael Wareham, the Right Honorable Michael Wareham Dean. No, you're the Right Honorable Nima Vidati, and I am Lord Michael W. Dean, Sir Michael W. Dean.
Of course, It's just one theory that that's where the word ban comes from. According to Wiki, the other assumption is borrowed from the Turkic language, meaning ruler of the horde. So either way, it's that's where the concept comes from.
Either way, so when people you like get to tell people what to do.
Right, right. And so that's the nut of it. When people are like, we need to ban semi-automatic weapons, or we need to ban this and ban that. They're assuming that they're the master of your house instead of you being the master of your own house.
That's square, man. That's square and boring for people to do that.
It is, isn't it?
Statist. Yeah.
That's statist.
That's statist. And look at, go down the page and look at this guy in his fancy coat. His puffery. Joslip Jelly Neck Ban of Croatia.
Yes, Jelly Neck, which evolved into the neck beard.
You have a Croatian gun.
That's Frank who does. Don't you, Frank? The Makarov?
No, that's Russian.
You don't even know you have a...
The Springfield. The Springfield XD.
Springfield XD. It says on it, made in Croatia.
Yeah,
I have a Croatian gun, too. Wow. Well, I don't have it anymore. I lost it in a voting accident. My Yugoslavian AK-47 variant was... I don't know. It's like Yugoslavia got carved up over lunch and...
before tea.
Yeah, then Muslim assassins wearing tracksuits ran out looking for... you ever see Behind Enemy Lines? Great movie.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, you've seen it, Frank?
Yeah.
The Muslim assassin with the tracksuit in there is pretty scary. He's a good villain.
Frank's seen more movies than me, so
yeah.
If you ask me, I'm like, nah, probably haven't. But Frank, maybe.
I'm somewhere in between Nima and Michael as far as movies I've seen.
Yeah,
there but you don't have a higher rating than the flu. The flu has a higher rating than Congress. So
it does.
The European Union is banning cash transactions of over 500 euros. Speaking of banning.
They've banned that or that's in their agenda?
Did they say the reasoning behind it?
Tax collection and tracking terrorism.
Because terrorists use 501 euros.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
The magical cutoff, right?
That's how much a nuke goes for in Eastern Europe. a Soviet nuke goes for 501 euros.
501.
Well, following the lead, of course, of Italy, because we had talked about that a few months ago, how Italy was cracking down on cash transactions.
In post-Soviet Russia.
The fascist Italians is such a great idea, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Yeah, and of course, that's just a horrible concept.
I mean,
cash is one of the few economic private things you can do with your money is to spend cash on something instead of having a paper trail. And of course, they probably justify it with, like Frank said, terrorism or even the war on drugs.
Tax.
But really, just an excuse for them to look at whatever the hell you're doing and scrutinize it centrally.
Exactly. The central scrutinizer.
Every nation and state and subdivision of same is cracking down harder than ever on taxes and getting more like how can we milk these aphids that are our tax cattle better.
Yeah, they are. And there's a lot of speculation as to how that will end up playing out. I mean, I hope, and in our theory, that it makes the iron hot so we can strike into people's minds the idea that there's no reason for this anyway. We don't need to be, we don't need to have people on our backs working off, living off of the sweat of our brows instead of living off the sweat of their own brows. So once they crack, the more and more they crack down, the more easy it is to explain this kind of thing to people and let them know what's really going on. Hopefully they can see it a lot easier if it affects their own personal lives.
Yeah.
Do
you see this thing about the Arkansas town that set up the full-time
SWAT
patrols to take back the streets, including random ID checks?
Yes, I did. How has that played out? Are they still doing it?
They're planning on doing it, I think, after January, at least from what I read.
Well, it's January.
From what I remember. I mean, after January. February.
Okay. Once they buy another
Bearcat. Like it matters. Yeah, but I mean...
They got to get another shipment of ARs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was sad to see that there were people that were cool with that in the comments. And I think even in the news story, the reporter did some man on the streets and, of course, had the requisite quotes of people saying, well, I'm fine with this as long as it makes me safer.
One says, sounds very American. Thanks for being patriotic and honoring our Constitution. I don't know if that's sarcasm or not. But
I'm pretty sure that's
that,
sarcasm.
That site, that newspaper site is really weird. Like, it keeps refreshing like every 5 seconds and you can't read it because the words jump around on it. Like, man, I hope it's not the same people in charge of, well, I kind of hope it is the same people in charge of like running the police that are doing the web design of the paper because they're completely incompetent.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I mean, it was such a tiny town, too. I kind of feel like, is that really what they want to be doing? Is that really helpful to their economy as a whole?
Yeah,
to go around harassing people and
sure, it makes jobs, man.
Money just to harass
they probably
people.
Get federal money for it, so they feel like they're not paying for it.
Ah, yeah. Some kind of Department of Homeland Security grant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's likely. When I was in Washington State, anytime there'd be something really crazy like that, like getting grants of $200,000 to put cameras all over the train tracks or the bridge because terrorists might want to blow up a bridge in bumfuck Washington State. Always be Department of Homeland Security money. Like, and there are people whose job it is to seek out these grants, to try to pitch to the feds that oh, poor us, we need more tax money to do silly things like this.
Do you know in 1971 there was a false alarm nationwide of the emergency broadcast system?
No, I didn't. How'd that play out?
For about 30 or 40 minutes, radio stations were broadcasting that NORAD had an event and everyone should stand by for further directions, and then find like somebody in NORAD like typed the wrong code or something, you know. they meant to type the all clear code, which was 00017, and they typed 00018.
The FUBAR code.
Yeah, yeah. That's scary, man.
Yeah, yeah. Was there mass hysteria? I guess not, or we'd know more about it.
No, because it was basically a like stand by and we'll tell you what horrors are coming. They didn't actually broadcast a horror. It was just yeah.
Of course. Of course, now that's built into all of our smartphones.
Not mine.
I got an Amber Alert on my smartphone the other day, like as a text message, and I thought it was really annoying. And so I went to
turn off. You probably had to pay for that. Did you have to pay for that? Do you have to pay to receive text?
I think I get unlimited text, so I don't think it's a monetary issue. But then I went to try to turn it off, and I was able to turn off the Amber Alert, but there's another option in there for presidential emergency declaration. That is not disableable. That was grayed out. You can't choose to turn that out. And we talked about how they were going to do that a year ago.
I didn't know.
I just hadn't seen it implemented and put into action.
Yeah.
All right. We'll have plenty more coming back after this short pause.
To sell things.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Freedom Fiends Live.
All right, and we're back for the last segment of the Freedom Fiends Live Sunday show.
It's a very family Fiends today.
Very family Fiends. Cedric, do you want to grab the mic there? Well, we'll let Cedric riff on a little bit. I'll bring it up. He's a little bit nervous, I guess. A little bit of mic fright instead of stage fright. But there is a congressman from New York, and he has proposed a bill that would end term limits on the presidency. I'm sure this is being talked about heavily in the libertarian blogosphere. And so I guess we can give it a little bit of time here on our last segment.
I noticed Cedric, they didn't bring this up while Bush was president for some reason.
Well, I believe it's the Democratic congressman, or maybe he's a senator from New York.
Who is his name now?
Let's see here. Cedric, why don't you go ahead and give us your first impression while I find this congressman's last name so we can out him.
Well, basically, how I feel, or what I feel about this, is they're trying to turn him into more of a tyrant than he already is. You know, give him even more power than what he's already got.
Like a king.
Exactly, like a king. And, you know, the 22nd Amendment was there to, you know, stop things like this from happening so that one person doesn't get reelected over and over again, so the minority doesn't feel like they're...
I do have a few counterintuitive things, comments to make here, and it looks like it was Representative Jose Serrano, a district from New York District, or a Democrat from New York District 15. He sponsored the bill, and yeah, I guess initially it does seem kind of scary, but...
His name sounds familiar. Didn't he do this like 3 years ago also? He did something horrible. I think I actually added something to his Wikipedia
page. The bill that we're talking about is new. It was introduced on the 4th, so a couple of days ago, for this most recent Congress. I don't know if you want to
Wiki
his evil bills and see if...
He's born in Puerto Rico. Ah. Is he the Puerto Rican representative or the New York representative? He's a
New
York representative.
New York.
All right.
He's a D New York.
He's a D bag from New York.
Yes, he is. is to me, it seems like, you know, it's not like changing the presidential administration ever really changes any of the important things. I mean,
He has introduced this bill in 1997, 99, 2001, 2003, 2005, 2007, 2009, and 2011. That's interesting. So he did it while Bush was president.
A bipartisan thing, a perennial thing for him.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I guess maybe it's more of a principled than a partisan thing on his part. I wonder what his reasoning behind it is, if you want to take a look at the actual
bill. He's a fan of Hugo Chavez.
Ah, is he? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I guess to me the whole term limits thing is irrelevant, right? When people say we need more term limits on congressmen and senators, or we need to impose those on congressmen and senators, I don't know if that really solves the problem. I don't know if it does much of anything. As Hans Hermann Hoppe pointed out when he was taking on democracy as a concept, part of the problem is that there's such a short-term goal for all politicians. They don't get to actually take any sense of ownership in society or their constituency. It's all about getting the most loot that they can during whatever short time. So you shorten that time and they just loot more because they're afraid that they're not going to be there for very long.
Yeah, and his argument was that kings treated people better than in representatives in a democracy because kings had ownership and they wanted to pass the cattle on to their kids.
Right. It's a long-term thing. They think of it as, you know, the family car or the family house or the family farm. They want to pass it on to their kids.
Although I could also see someone with no term limits acting more and more like Hitler.
Do what now?
I could also see the tendency, if someone has no term limits, to really just act like Hitler, to just exterminate the people that get in their way.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose so. I suppose it's a catch 22, right? Mm. I mean, neither option seems very ideal to me.
Well, democracy is just changing the face on a dictator every 4 years.
Yeah.
Right. That's an important point, Frank, is that it's not necessarily an individual that's the problem. Mm-hmm. Just like when Ron Paul says, it's not Bernanke that's the problem. It's the concept of having a Fed chairman in the first place.
Well, I go back to
the presidency. It's a concept of the American presidency, not the last name behind who's ever in the White House.
I go back to comparing statism and democracy to drug addiction. And, you know, there's a thing in AA, in the AA book or the NA book about trying to, like, tool your usage to be a successful junkie, and it can't be done. You know, like if you're a drug addict, like people will do things like only use on weekends, or only use when things are, only drink when things are good, or only drink when things are bad, or only never drink at home, or only drink at home. And like, right. None of that works. It doesn't change the disease in your head. And that's what democracy is. It's a disease, and you can't tool it to work at all.
Right.
It leads
right.
to destruction
addict,
no matter what.
If you're an addict, you can't be a recreational heroin user.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just got to swear off it completely. And I do like that analogy of statism as a drug. And we just need another fix, right? We're in a predicament now. We just need more
three laws from perfection
to cover it over. Yeah, the three laws from perfection concept. Which, I mean, look where it's gotten us. Things seem to get worse and worse and worse.
It's gotten us to the flu has a higher rating than Congress.
Has a higher approval rating than Congress.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, people are saying on the chat that the stream is not buffering or they're losing us.
They should hit refresh.
Yeah, I was getting a little hiccups from you too. It sounds like it passed though. It might have been a Wyoming wind thing, infrastructure thing.
The squirrels and the antelopes fell off the treadmill. Got blown
off.
Wow,
you're not blaming it on the central scrutinizer this time.
No, man. I was.
It's new year.
It's a new year for new tyrannies. I reset my tyranny counter ticker.
Excellent.
I always complain about the new year, like people aren't available, but you know, by now they usually are, but I've been sick all week, so I haven't been available. And I got off Facebook. Hypocrite. It's like people feel like I just disappeared, man. Hypocrite. You're sick. You're a hypocrite.
I blame you. Sereno. Not the state. I blame Michael.
Jose Sereno. Yeah, I could see him with gold chains and a jogging suit. He has a gold tie.
Racist.
Yeah, he should go back to selling peppers.
Yeah.
Much more efficient use of his time.
Yeah. So, any closing comments here in the last 3 or 4 minutes we got from the family?
I don't know. Family, any closing comments? They probably won't hear from my family for another little while. So, Frank, you got any last words for
until the summer vacations start and I can't get with you? Or the spring vacations?
No, I don't have anything to say. You want to say anything, Cedric?
Put Cedric on.
Cedric, say thanks.
Give Cedric the closing arguments.
Well, liberty is awesome. So,
you don't sound very enthusiastic. You sound like liberty is awesome.
He's a 15-year-old. That comes with the territory. I don't know. Whatever. Is that sarcasm? I don't even know anymore.
I don't even know anymore. That's a Simpsons reference. Yep.
And a good one at that.
Oh, Jose Sereno. Jose Sereno replaced Charles Rangel. Wasn't he kicked out for massive fraud or something?
Yeah, it was unethical activity, whatever they were using.
He touched his weenus under the microphone?
No, I thought it was some kind of bribes.
Yeah. And he was the one that wouldn't step down. And like the Democratic, like Nancy Pelosi was telling him to step down. And he's like,
right.
No, I earned this seat. I haven't been convicted yet. I'm staying.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty much on the same level as the Wiener Sickle, but.
The Wiener Sickle? Yeah.
The Wiener Sickle.
Did Wiener refuse to step down?
He fought it. He didn't seem to go too willingly.
Yeah.
Initially, at least.
And you know, again, it always comes back to like people get all upset because some adult took a picture of their weenus and sent it to some other consenting adult when really like these people are stealing and killing everybody all the time. And that should be the issue. There was actually an Onion about that recently. It was like Americans shocked to find out about Afghan war while reading about, sex scandal.
Yeah. Well, there was the amazing cartoon with Droney the drone as well, where the Droney was explaining to Petraeus or bragging about all of the people the drone killed. Was talking to Petraeus. You know, it's a personified drone, and Petraeus was like, "Well, you know, tell that to the next guy. I'm getting kicked out." And Droney was like, "Really? Why?" And Petraeus is like, "I had an affair." And Droney looks at Petraeus and is like, "Humans are weird."
Yeah. Well, drones are just mechanical pigeons when it comes down to it.
Yes. With upgraded pigeons.
With lethal poop.
That's an image right there.
It's been a good family-friendly edited Fiends here.
Yeah, yeah.
Utah-friendly family Fiends.
A very Mormon Fiends.
Clean Fiends. Worms.
All right. All right, thanks for joining us, folks. We'll see you in a couple days.
Cheers. Yeah.